Well, today is a new beginning for affirmation, at least a time of transition, not simply because we're changing the time of our worship, or not just because it's a chance for us to reassess our punctuality and our discipline of time, but of course, more importantly, because we're adding a new dimension to the ministry of this church. Right? We desire, as I prayed, that the ministry of this church not simply be one-dimensional, and in the past, for the most part, it has. The ministry of this church is worship, right? Our worship service, and that's great. That's got to be at the heart and the center of what we are at Affirmation and what we do. We come for worship, but then out the other side, there need to be these extensions, and we have little things. We have our Wednesday evening study. Again, encourage you, if you have time or are ever available, to come to that as we kick that off for the new year, but also Sunday school. And while we have had Sunday school, it has been sort of in a slapshot way, and now we want to structure that, give that a little more definition, and particularly be able to give something in this church to the children of this church, and not just to the little kids, but to the older kids, and frankly, not just to them, but to all of us. As we establish this Sunday school for the three groups, we're going to have the elementary kids in the back room, and we're going to have the adults in here, and for the time being, we're going to have the high school and junior high in with me in this room, though we're hoping to do something down in the basement in the weeks to come. But for the time being, that's what we're going to do. And again, what we've had so far here at Affirmation in our worship is preaching. We come to worship the Lord, but where we are fed is through the preaching of the word. But preaching is not the same thing as teaching. Preaching is declaration. We come that we might hear the word of the Lord declared to us. But teaching is also important. That we want ourselves to come, we want our kids to come, not only that we might hear the word of the Lord declared, but that we might be taught, that we might be able to engage. The beauty of a Sunday school time is the chance to spend some time asking questions. Right? Any dialogue we have in the sermon has to be created by me. I have to provoke a question in your head, anticipate that question, and answer that question. And that's fine. But Sunday school is a chance for us to engage, to ask questions about the subject. And as we said, what we're going to be looking at over these coming weeks is our story, the overarching story, the worldview of the Christian. What is the story into which our lives fit? And this is important for young and old. And so we're excited about that. And so Ivars and I in the session agreed to make this change, again, desiring that our ministry might be more than one-dimensional. So in light of that, I want to use Luke chapter 18, the text we just read, briefly this morning. Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, this familiar little story in the Gospel of Luke about the children who are being brought to Jesus, these infants that are being brought to Jesus. And I want us to think about what we're doing at Affirmation as we take this step forward. Read the text here, and then let's just think about it for a moment. This is Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And so this morning, bringing our children to Christ. And this is what we desire to do at Affirmation, what we're challenging you parents to reflect upon, but not just the parents, but of course even those here who do not have children attending. How do we think about what we're engaging in? First, these parents in this text, verse 15, then they, right? They, these parents of these infants, of these little children, are bringing them to Jesus. Now, Jesus has been traveling all over. Jesus has been performing miracles. Jesus has been teaching. And these parents say, "I've got to get my children to him. I've got to bring my children to him that they might be touched by him. Somehow these parents see in Jesus someone that they need to bring their children to. Not just even that they need to tell their children about Jesus, they need to bring their children to Jesus. This is important to them. And they exhibit this kind of boldness that we looked at after the Sermon on the Mount. The boldness of the leper, the boldness of the blind man here that we're told about later in this text, who continues to cry out, son of David, have mercy on me, even while disciples are telling him, hey, pipe down. You know, he's got business to take care of. We don't need you yelling out in the streets, son of David, have mercy on me. And here these parents are bringing their little infants to Jesus. They want Jesus to touch him. And again, the disciples stand in the way. The disciples get in the way and try to keep the parents from getting to Jesus with their little children. And you think to yourself, what is that about? What are you doing? Why are you jumping in the way trying to keep anybody from getting to Jesus, right? It's our hope here as we pray for those who don't know the Lord. We've done it over many years, and you all have friends and family who don't know the Lord, and we pray for them. Now, we'd do anything to get them to Jesus. And here, the disciples are just jumping always in the way, kind of barricading Jesus from sinners or from weak, helpless people, blind men, or even from parents, anxious parents, to get their little children to him. But Jesus has a different frame of mind, doesn't he? These parents want to get to Jesus. The disciples get in the way. But Jesus wants the children. And so while the disciples are rebuking the parents, Jesus rebukes the disciples and says, no, let the little children come unto me. Get those children to me. The parents are right to want those children to get to me. Bring them here. And so it says, but Jesus called to them and said, let the little children come to me. And let the little children is not just simply a passive thing. These are infants. So he's not just saying, put them down and let them wander and hopefully they'll find me. The let them come to me is get them to me. It's a much more active way of coming at it. Get the children to me. Bring the little children to me. And then he says it in the negative, and do not forbid them. So the call here for parents is to bring their children to Jesus, and then in the, stating it negatively, do not forbid them or do not hinder them. And so I want us to think for a moment, how were they being hindered? How might we hinder our children or the children of this church from coming to Jesus, to see him, to be touched by him, to be ministered to by him? And why? Why would anyone do that? And the disciples, of course, are a great negative example for us. What has happened to the disciples? It seems that the disciples in this text have lost perspective. What is Jesus here for? What is Jesus all about anyway? It seems that for the disciples, and we'll ask how we can apply this to ourselves, but it seems that for the disciples, Jesus was about political business. If you ask them, what is Jesus here for? It would be political business. They already acknowledged him as the Christ. He's the king. And so therefore, as the king, he has political matters at hand, and he's got to get to work on those. And the idea of little children approaching him while we have political matters to deal with is just out of the question. Can't happen. What do you think it is for you and for me? It's very easy for us to do. To view Jesus and see him as being something that, or someone that is about political business, maybe. Or maybe for us, Jesus is about theological business. Jesus is about ecclesiastical business. Whatever, Jesus is about some big picture idea, politics, theology, church business. But what the disciples forgot is that when Jesus identifies himself, one of the chief ways he identifies himself is as a shepherd. And that was another way of thinking of the king. It's political. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I teach my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. They come to me. They follow me. I lay my life down for these sheep. Very easy for the disciples, apparently, but also for us to convince ourselves and ultimately then to portray to our children that Christ is about adult business. Big picture stuff is what Jesus is about, and to forget the very personal nature of what Jesus as the shepherd king has come to do. And either, perhaps, we are in danger of portraying this to our children, or in danger of having had it portrayed that way to us, so that we, even as adults, forget the relevance of Jesus to our personal lives. That we forget and neglect to see Jesus as a good shepherd who cares about you. And I think Christians, we have trouble sometimes in seeing the relevance of Jesus to my particular situation, to my afflictions, to my troubles, seeing the relevance of Jesus to my joy, to the things that satisfy me, to the daily things of this life. Jesus is what we think about on Sunday mornings. When we hear Pastor Spanger get up there and give us a sermon, sometimes applicable, sometimes not. Sometimes things I understand, sometimes things I don't. But what the heck does it have to do with Monday when I go to school? What does it have to do with Monday when I go to work? What does it have to do with me when I hang around with my friends? What does it have to do with me when you fill in the blank? And we forget that Jesus is the good shepherd. What was he here for? He was here for infants. He was here to minister to little children, and he was here to minister to their parents, and he was here to minister to the disciples, and he was here to minister to blind men and to lame people and to lepers and to sinners. Very easy to abstract Jesus and make him about a movement, to make him about something so big it's very hard to relate to. And so what do we end up doing? We end up hindering even the little children from coming to him. How? I want us just to think maybe practically for a second about Jesus' words, bring them to me. That's what we're trying to do here this morning as we begin 8 weeks of Sunday school, is to say, at affirmation, we want to be faithful to this. Get the little children to me. And secondly, do not hinder them from coming to me. And so how might we think about these two things? I want to think about hindering the children, and not just the children, but all of us, from coming to him. Hindering them both negatively and positively. How might we hinder them? Of course, by not bringing them. Right? That would be one way of hindering the children from coming to Jesus, is if we don't bring them. These parents brought them. These parents knew that whoever Jesus was and whatever he was doing was important for their children. And at Affirmation, we want this to be our mindset. This is absolutely crucial for the sake and the life of our children. Again, I was just at a pastor's conference this past week down in Orlando, and we're talking, and I was there with Steve. We had a little more time to spend together. And just chatting, there's only 15 guys, just a small group. And thinking about the state of Christianity in the world and so forth, and particularly in the West. And as you watch in the West, Christianity just evaporate before our eyes, and it has over the past 100 years just begun to evaporate in the West, so that in Europe it's almost non-existent, and in America it's fleeting, right? At least gospel-based, Christ-centered Christianity. We think, why? And I'll tell you one reason why. One reason is because we do not and have not instilled deep within the hearts of our children a love for the faith. And the reason for that gets back to us as adults. You will instill a love for things in your children that you love, that you are passionate about. Your children catch that passion for whatever you're passionate for. Right? More is caught by your children than is taught to your children. You can teach all you want, catechize all you want, instruct all you want, but if there is not a love for it, your children will not catch a love for the gospel. More will be caught than is taught to and by your children. Why? Why is Christianity fleeting, and how do we counter it? Well, one thing is, we had better bring our children to Jesus Christ. We better see in Jesus Christ something so relevant for them and so important for them that we must bring our children there. So do not hinder them. That is, bring them. Not to bring them is to hinder them from coming. That is, we must be careful not to teach our children that Jesus is just one more part of their life. School is a part of their life. Family is a part of their life. Sports is a part of their life. Music is a part of their life. Recreation is a part of their life. All these things. And Jesus is a part of it. No. No. Jesus is our life. And Jesus infiltrates and rules over every aspect of our life. And this we must instill to our children. And so then how might we hinder our children from coming to Jesus Christ? Perhaps by allowing our children to be so distracted by the things of life. We know that this world in which you and I live is a world full of distractions. And we must guard our families, our children, our grandchildren. We must guard against hindering them from coming to Christ by allowing them to have so many things in their life that distract them from Jesus Christ. They don't have time to look at Jesus Christ. My goodness, they're distracted by a million other things that keep us looking anywhere but Jesus Christ. I believe that in the midst of all those distractions, Satan fist pumps. Because he knows that in these distractions, Christ is lost. And in so doing, I think we're in danger of doing what Jesus commands us not to do, and that is hindering our children from coming to Christ. So in one way, we hinder them by throwing things in front of them that distract them, or allowing them to have things that distract them, or making Jesus just one part of their life and not the essence of their life. Or positively, how might we keep them from coming? Perhaps by establishing schedules, either for them or for ourselves, that make it not feasible to spend time thinking of Christ. Or, as perhaps we have done at Affirmation, and this is why we're making a change, perhaps one way we hinder our children from coming to Christ is speaking in adult language just all the time. So frankly, our children just don't know what to do with the sermon. And therefore, we need to have something like what we're about to do, and that is to start to engage our children with Sunday school so that we can bring these things to their life. Very important for children to sit through a sermon, to learn how to hear the Word of God preached, to hear adult language. That's great. We want our children to hear adult conversation. But if we never speak in their language, then that's not helpful. And so perhaps that's one way. Institutionally, we at Affirmation have hindered the children, and we want to undo that and instead bring the gospel and the story of Christianity down to them in their language. So, from our text, we want to be like these parents that, as a church and as individuals, that see Jesus as something so important, we've got to bring our children to them, and we want to be those who put up no barricades, barricades of language, barricades of distraction, barricades of schedule, barricades of priorities. We don't want any barricade that in any way diminishes the greatness, the supremacy, the glory, the joy, and the necessity of Jesus Christ for our children. But then finally, for us all. This is not just a sermon, nor in fact is it just a text about children. Because Jesus, as he says, get those little children to me, and don't you put up anything that's going to keep them from getting to me. Jesus then turns it around to everyone. And he says, for as such is the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. Little children coming to me, to be touched by me, to sit on my lap. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Is that what you think of the kingdom of God? When you think of the kingdom of God, do you think of a shepherd sitting there with little children on his lap? Again, so easy for us to blow the kingdom of God out into a theological concept or blow the kingdom of God out into a political structure. And don't get me wrong, it involves all those things. But Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. Little children coming to sit on my lap, to be touched by me, to be taught by me, to be encouraged by me, to be held by me. And then Jesus turns to you, adults, and he says, surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And so I do not intend in this sermon this morning just to speak to parents about getting their children to Jesus Christ, whether it be here in church or around the dinner table as we pray, putting the word of God before them, singing together as a family, whatever it takes to get them to Jesus Christ. And at Affirmation, we want to give you this opportunity to say, as an institution, as your church, here's how we're going to help you do it. We're going to provide Sunday school time together. After the service, we'll have fellowship. We're going to come together. We're going to sing a couple songs together with the kids, and we're going to go and learn. That's going to be how we're doing it. But that's not just what this sermon is about. It's also to all of us, because the scriptures tell us we must all come this way. It's not just, well, as adults, we've got this figured out. So yeah, you're right, Spanger. Let's help the children. We must all come as the children in this way, like the weaned child that we sang about in Psalm 131 in our singing today. Or humbly, like we read about in our Old Testament reading in Psalm 113, coming in this humble manner before the Lord and receiving. Is that how you come this morning, adults? Are you coming with empty hands this morning to receive from the Word? This is a little challenge to you about how you worship. We need to spend more time on this to engage and ask the question, what are you doing there this morning, sitting in those chairs looking at me? What are you doing? Are you coming as you sit there, still smiling at me? Are you coming this morning with hands, hearts, minds open, ready to receive from the Word of God? Are you coming like little children this morning to sit on the lap of your Savior and be taught by him? Not by Bill Spanger, not because Bill Spanger's some deep intellect and he has amazing things to tell you, and so let's look for that one nugget of truth that Spanger's going to give us that we can walk away with this week, but because you want to hear the Word of God. And so like little children, we come to be taught, we come to be instructed, we come to be encouraged, we come to be chastised by the Word, letting the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit go at work within you, that it might conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. Are you coming to receive? Or are you coming for fellowship? Are you coming with some agenda? Are you coming with distractions on your mind that don't allow you to receive Christ? Because your minds are busy on the work at hand, or what you're going to have to do after the service today, or who's coming over later, or some serious things at work that are coming up this coming week, or you got a test tomorrow, kids, or whatever, a big game tomorrow, so that we can't come here with empty hearts and minds to receive. Not completely empty. We always come informed, of course, but you know what I mean. Coming hungry, waiting to be filled. As we said last week, coming naked and waiting to be clothed. Coming helpless and waiting to be strengthened by the Word of God. If we don't come that way, I think what Jesus is saying is pretty strong, don't you? For whoever does not receive the kingdom this way will by no means enter it. It's a real challenge to us to reassess and reexamine how we come to church on Sunday. We come to have a kingdom bestowed upon us, a kingdom that involves everything in our lives, our work and our sports and our music and our families and our everything. And we receive it in Jesus Christ by coming to him. So how are you coming? It's not just for kids. Bring your children here Sunday morning. Really want to encourage you to come for the Sunday school and to stick around. But also how you come. Let us come humbly to receive in worship and in the Sunday school period, saying, Lord, teach me. Be my shepherd. Guide me and strengthen me. Nurture my relationship with you so that for me, you are not just one facet of my life, but you become all of my life. That's our prayer here. As Ivars and I decide to make this change, that's what we want. We want the end result of this not to be just more time spent together. And frankly, we don't even want it to be just more instruction. What we really want it to be is spiritual growth. We want it to be more dynamic and vibrant faith. We want the end result to be more love for Jesus Christ and more desire to follow and to serve him. And to do that, we need to come like little children. And so we'll begin that today. And we'll see how it goes. I'm sure it'll be different. It'll be moments of awkwardness. It'll be trial and error, but we'll work our way through it because it's that important. And so bring the little children and come and receive as little children. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we desire this morning, even as we make changes, not only institutionally, but perhaps within our families, and Lord, even personally, we pray that we would see Jesus as all supreme and all sufficient and all important. And that, Lord, we would not allow anything to hinder us or our families or our spouses or our children or our grandchildren from coming to Jesus. We want to be brought to him that, O Lord God, we might be taught by him, that we might be encouraged by him, directed and even chastised by him. I pray that you would guard us from coming to church with minds busy, minds filled with all sorts of distractions, with minds filled with preconceived ideas of what the scriptures say so that we are unable to hear you, Father, when you speak by your Holy Spirit. Lord God, what we want to do is nurture our relationship with Christ, and we need your Spirit for that. So I do ask that you would bless this time. Bless this change and use it within our personal and family lives, Father, to draw us all closer and closer to Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen.